Looks like you've been cooking on the stove. That'll be a bond deduction.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Celine. How are you today?
Good morning, Rachel. I'm all right. Staying positive.
That's good. That's good.
How about you?
I think that's the general vibe at the moment.
Yeah,
everyone is all
so.
Right. All right is pretty good. We've got some questions from the BFM listeners that have come in over the last week and this morning around renting and their flatting situations. Some of them are quite cooked.
So grim.
Yeah, they're always grim. They're never happy, are they?
No. Let's get stuck in, though. The first one says, I've been living at my flat for over 2 years now, and in that time I've always been on fixed-term contracts. Someone told me that given how long I've lived there, I should be, by default, on a periodical contract. Is that true, and what does that mean, and how should I approach it with my property manager?
Okay, yeah, so basically I think I've always been a little bit confused about this too, because basically it's changed so that February of this year, I believe, basically means that once your fixed term is over, it should roll into a periodic unless you sign a new agreement. And tenant advocates usually encourage tenants to ask for a periodic unless there are really good reasons why a fixed term tenancy is more appropriate. So like if you sign a fixed term for a year or something, you have to like pay to break that lease to stop paying rent. You have to keep paying rent till the end. You're kind of stuck within that. Whereas a periodic still has protections for you, especially that those changes are kind of to do with the kind of no reason terminance, like when you terminate in contracts and stuff like that. So You've still got protections. You, to end the tenancy agreement, either you or the landlord have to provide a written statement basically saying you want to do that and follow all the time guidelines. So that is often a better solution, but I understand as well that it is often hard to ask for those things. Like I myself am in a situation where it's a yearly, signing up a yearly contract, and I kind of don't know how I would breach to try and change that, because I think that she thinks that's in her interest. So I would say that do some research on it. It's not that you should be on that, like maybe it would be better for you, but they definitely are also allowed to still do yearly contracts or whatever it might be. So you kind of have to see what you can work out, but it is recommended to be like a better situation for a lot of reasons for tenants, I think.
Okay, that is maybe not the news that person was hoping to hear, but it does sound like there's possibly some wiggle room in there.
Yep. I would ask for one if you can, try and do something like that, or maybe get more specific advice from an advocate from Tenant Protection, and they might have precedents for how other people have gone about that, you know?
Cool, yeah.
Also, if you don't sign a new agreement, it basically just reverts.
To a periodic.
Yeah, but reverts to a periodic. Sorry, my dad's trying to call me, but we'll leave him.
Hey to Celine's dad.
Yeah, some advice too.
what's another question we've got here, Zoe?
Yeah, this one says, question for Celine. There was an attempted
burglary.
Thank you. Jeez. At my flat. And my landlord has said that putting locks on our windows isn't a priority until level two. Thoughts?
Okay. Yeah, I've never been able to spell burglary, to be honest. So I understand. Okay. Well, I think the thing with the levels at the moment is difficult, especially when we're in Auckland, is at level four, there are some restrictions. So like landlords can't visit at level four, but you can get urgent repairs done. So there are tradespeople around Auckland going and doing urgent repairs. At level three, you can definitely have repairs occurring in a distance manner. So it's really up to you what you want to argue, how serious and urgent that is. There is definitely a precedent for landlords having a responsibility to provide and maintain locks so the property's reasonably secure.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also make sure you get repairs done quickly if it's urgent because of health and safety. So I feel like you could definitely argue that it should be done, especially if you're at home all the time, you're feeling unsafe, or there's any they are windows that should maybe have locks and haven't had, that might, you might be able to argue that's something that should have been in the property all along. So I would do a little bit of research online, on tenancy services or Ara Tohu, just to kind of work out how you can build an argument for that. I'm sure you'd be able to argue for it at level three. Level two seems far too long to wait. But if you're wanting to have that sorted soon, I think there's a way you could argue for it to happen now, basically. I'm sorry that happened. That sounds stressful.
Yeah, very stressful, actually. And level four, not a good time. We've got a text from someone who's also got a stressful situation. They say, my flat is literally lots of L's, lots of Y's, riddled with cockroaches. Landlord refuses to get an exterminator and has only provided us with traps. So annoyed. What more can I do?
Oh, no, especially when you're at home, that's bad. Okay, in terms of pests and stuff like that, it looks like, as often happens, a lot of the guidance is basically like, landlords have a responsibility to make sure the property's pest-free, but then this other thing where they're like, tenants have responsibility to not attract pests, basically. So they kind of make it this like dual responsibility thing, which sure it is in some degree, but I'm sure we can understand that most of the time people aren't leaving out things to like attract cockroaches on purpose. There's probably some other thing going on in the house.
If your house is riddled with cockroaches, that seems like a problem with the house rather than a problem with the people.
Keyword riddled.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's stuff here basically where it's important to let the landlord know straight away. And if the pests weren't there at the beginning when you moved in, there's like this real trouble with whose fault it is and who has to do something about it. So it's not on the landlord's shoulders in this like obvious manner, but I think we can argue for that. So I think it's also an important point to like really look out for pests when you move in. That's just another thing. But again, that shouldn't be your issue. They should be providing a property that is pest-free.
Yes.
So, yes.
Basically,
bare minimum.
You would think so. So landlords and tenants sometimes agree to split the cost between them of certain things, but again, I would try harder than that. So if you think the landlord has caused the infestation by not maintaining the property or doing something that has like not discouraged them, then you can really issue a notice to remedy. So you can escalate it and say that it's something that has to be dealt with. And you, if it needs fumigating, they take responsibility of that. So if you really think it needs that and it's not because of your behaviour, which I'm sure it's not, then you can really argue for that. You can also ask the landlord to repair any damage that might let pests in, so gaps and holes and things like that. That also can be argued quite well, I think, alongside the change in the healthy home legislation, because a lot of that is about kind of draft stopping and warmth, so blocking up holes and stuff like that. But there is kind of this tricky area where they kind of can also argue that, oh, a tenant caused, like, their behaviour, blah, blah, blah. So just be aware of that. And I would take photos, I would get evidence, and I'd just build a little case there using some of those laws. But there's a specific page on tenancy services about pests that kind of goes through all of this. That's a good, about animal pests.
Excellent.
Oh, man.
Well, I hope that person gets it resolved quickly. Our very last one that we've got this morning, Celine, is from someone who has got another ongoing problem. Hi, Celine. The roof is leaking in our house. We live in a subdivided villa, and our landlord said that to fix it, he has to look at the roof as a whole. He said, and this is their quote, it's going to be a big job and he's looking at it, brackets, so he's putting it off. We spoke to the neighbours in the villa and they said that they spoke to him about this over a year ago and he still hasn't done anything. What do we do? And then they've signed off, love Madam Mould. So
Madam Mould.
Poor old Madam Mould. How does this person handle this?
Well, this is, I just feel grateful that I'm in a house that's, you know, keeping me dry and warm at the moment, and especially given we're all at home at the moment, it just really brings into sharp relief how central housing is to equity and everything. So I'm sorry to hear that. That is usually, you know, diabolical, as most of these are. So basically, again, I would look at the Healthy Homes legislation, because you shouldn't have a leaking roof. And I'm assuming they're the landlord of the neighbours, they're the landlord of kind of the two sides of the villa.
That seems to be the vibe, yeah.
Yeah, so I think with the two of you, talking about it is probably that's the best start. That's really good, because if you have a united front, that will be even more annoying for them and they really will have to do something about it. There is a little bit of stuff here about reasonable time, so repairs. Repairs, if they're urgent and it's health and safety involved, they really need to get onto it. So I don't know if a leak classifies as that. I would think it should, but I don't know if it would. Mm-hmm. So that reasonable time thing means, I guess the roof is quite a big job. There's some kind of wiggle room in terms of what is an amount of time to get that handled. But obviously a year is not investigating it and getting it sorted. That's just ignoring it. So you can definitely seek a works order from the tenancy tribunal. You can kind of send a piece of writing to them to say that this has happened and you need it happening. You know, you can send a 14-day repair notice, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do something like that. I would ring your Tenants Protection Association, and I would do it with the flat next door as well.
Get
you really
unionized.
Need to get that sorted out. Absolutely, you know, make it harder for them. You can, you two manage them together.
Hard out.
I think that's the way to go. You might have delays because of level four, obviously. It's kind of a handy excuse at the moment. And we haven't had a dishwasher, which is a minor problem, but has been annoying.
Yeah.
So beware of that too. But I would, they need to be sorting that out.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for your wise advice, as per usual, Celine.
No problem.
Hope you take care, and we will talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, sounds good.
A plague on both your investment houses. That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.